All right, here we go. Second Chronicles. Here we go. Let's go. Save it. Here we go. Stay standing. Here we go. Second Chronicles. Stay standing. Standing up. Second Chronicles 29. Second Chronicles. Here we go. Second Chronicles 29. It's great to be here. Here we go. Come on. Stay with me. You're taking time. Here we go. Save it for the guest preacher. Second Chronicles 29. All right, Chewbacca. All right, calm down. Second Chronicles 29. We're going to jump right into it. I want to thank Pastor, Brother Mitchell, and all the staff, faculty here. I know when I was in school, and it's been a little bit, but it's about 6 years, five and a half years. But I know that's it. But I appreciate them and all the folks that have influenced and shaped my life. And I want to just say thank you for that. Second Chronicles 29, we're going to be here in this chapter. And I'm going to give you a message I feel like the Lord gave me a while ago, but I feel like this is what he'd have me to preach. And we're going to go from there. We're leaving for tour next Friday, and I'm trying to listen to a lot of messages, trying to listen to a lot of scripture, kind of get as much as feed up as much as I can, because when you get on tour, then you're always preaching. I think the first week I got the opportunity to preach about 12 times, and so it's going to be spitting it out a lot. So taking it in, and I feel like this is not something that I've necessarily prepared recently, but I've taken time and studied it, and I would appreciate it if you give me your ear for these next few moments that we have. Second Chronicles 29, I want you to look at verse 20 and 21. It's where we're going to start. And the title of my message is, I'll give you in a second, we'll go from there. Here we go, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. Can we read, I'm going to read verse 20, and then why don't we read verse 21 together. Here we go. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. 21 together, begin. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for the opportunity to be in chapel this morning. I pray that you'd bless the next few moments. I've prayed, Lord. I've fasted. I've asked you to do something in this chapel hour, this chapel, and then pastor preaches this next week, and then we're gone. I pray that you'd work and move in a mighty way as only you can. We need you in this hour. Lord, I can speak to ears, but only you can speak to hearts. And I pray that you'd do so in these next few moments, in your precious name, amen. You may be seated. I love studying the Bible. And one of my favorite topics to study is the divided kingdom. And I love the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. Rehoboam, after King Solomon, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the kingdom was split. And we know this from history and from our Bible. And we find that to the north, okay, we have the kingdom of Israel, and with Samaria being its capital, and 10 tribes were to the north, and to the south we have the kingdom of Judah with its capital being Jerusalem, and 2 of the tribes of Israel living and dwelling in that area. Okay, so picture in your mind, it kind of gives you, if you're looking this way, I'll look this way, but to the north and you have the south, so Jerusalem and Judah to the south, and Samaria with Israel being its capital to the north. The kingdom was divided, and we have many kings before Hezekiah, about 16 kings in total, from when Saul takes his place to when the kingdom, everybody gets taken into captivity eventually. And the Bible gives us here, there's a space, and just about every king, not all, but just about, in fact, the Bible does say in 2 Kings 18, which is a parallel passage of this story, that when Hezekiah was one of the only good kings of the tribe that came in for the divided kingdom on the southern tribe there of Judah. And also, Josiah, we all know, was a good king, became king at 8, and he reigned and did well. But outside of those two kings, there really wasn't anything phenomenal. In fact, you read through the book of First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, First Kings, Second Kings, and you find that it's, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and that he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And it kind of follows that along those lines. But Hezekiah is kind of a break in the middle here. His father, Ahaz, was king, and he was very, 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 very wicked, okay? Hezekiah's son was the same way. As soon as Hezekiah passed away, his son took his place and reigned in his stead, and he as well became a very, 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 very wicked king. In fact, Ahaz, Hezekiah's dad, the Bible says that he was the wickedest king that ever ruled in Judah. The Bible says that in 2 Kings. Hezekiah goes through all that, and even during this whole time, I'm trying to give you a synopsis of what's happening, but during this whole time, Israel gets taken into captivity. When Hezekiah becomes king, Israel's already gone into Assyrian captivity, okay? So if you get the picture of the history here. So at this moment, as we're reading here, Hezekiah becomes king. And we're going to look. I want you to look with me. Go back one page to 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1. We're gonna start there. I'll mention this, though. We read that verse, and he brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs for the he-goats and for a sin offering. The next 3 words kind of jumped out at me when I was reading my Bible. It said, for the kingdom. And I thought to myself, man, I don't know why the Holy Spirit just kind of jumped that thought out at me. But he said, for, you know, everything that we do is for the kingdom. Is it for the kingdom here? No, it's not. But it's for the kingdom of heaven, for the kingdom of God. And that's what we're living for. And I love what he says next, for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. He says, not just for the kingdom that I rule. Maybe he thought including Israel in there. Because Israel did get blessed when Hezekiah became king. Many of those regions, Assyria kind of took a step back a little bit for a while, and there was some peace there. He says for the sanctuary, for the house of God, and for Judah. But I'm going to give you the breakdown here. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1, here we go. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. So he was 25 when he began to reign, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. He reigned 29 years. And his mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was what? Right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. It's a good place to start. Verse 4, and he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the east street. And he said unto them, hear ye me, Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of this place. So this is how Hezekiah begins his reign. His dad, wicked king, and to be honest with you, I don't know if it was Hezekiah that he went back and he went all the way back to King David to find somebody who was actually righteous and doing what's right, to find that example. But he goes back and he begins to reign, and the first thing that he does, he goes to the house of the Lord. He gathers all the people together and says, we need to repair the house of the Lord. We need to make this right. He said, obviously what we're doing, and you can read the chapter before, we're not going to take the time to do that, but they've made groves and high places and all these different things going on. And they're wicked, and the Bible says it's an abomination to God. God hated it. In fact, God's wrath was just brewing and brewing and brewing. And he was so angry with Israel that he sent Assyria. The Bible says he sent Assyria in to take them captive. Because they were just wicked. But Hezekiah becomes king here, and there's almost a space of grace for the kingdom of Judah. They don't get taken into captivity or totally invaded and let go till about 14 years, 15 years into Hezekiah's reign as king, when he kind of did some dumb things and started paying off the Egyptians that were for chariots and all these different kingdoms for protection. In fact, if you maybe want to make this note, but Isaiah and Micah were 2 prophets. If you read the book of Isaiah, you read the book of Micah, those 2 prophets were actually alive in Hezekiah's time, and they're mentioned throughout the story. It's kind of interesting, those 2 prophets. But Hezekiah decides that he's going to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Judah was headed in a good direction when Hezekiah becomes king at 25. He reigns Judah for 29 years. He decided for the sake of the kingdom that he would do what's right. He did right so that the kingdom would flourish. And I'll say this, if you do right in your life, your kingdom will flourish. During Hezekiah's reign, Israel gets taken into Syrian captivity, and outside of Josiah, as I mentioned, there were not a lot of great kings. Let's look at verse 21 again. He says, for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. And as I mentioned, that phrase, for the kingdom, kind of popped out at me. So I began to think, I get on your sword searcher, get on your my laptop, and I started putting things in, started studying my Bible. And I want to bring a couple things to your attention about this living for the kingdom of heaven. The word kingdom is mentioned quite a few times in Scripture. And even Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven quite a bit. Matthew 3:2 says this. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 6:33, one of the famous verses, says what? Seek ye first the what? The kingdom. Matthew 9:35 says this, Jesus went about preaching the kingdom of heaven. Paul said in Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbade him. Let me tell you this, convince and persuade yourself that living for the kingdom of God is worth more than anything the world has to offer you. We have a lot of young people, and even my generation, okay, I'm about to be 27 here in a couple days, a lot of my generation looks and they say it's easier to live and build my little kingdom here on earth than it is to live for the kingdom of God. It's hard to live for the kingdom of God. It's not easy. If you want to seek those things which are above, you want to set your affections on things above, it's not easy. For Hezekiah, I don't believe it was easy. A wicked dad, a wicked son, but in the middle there, Hezekiah decides, everything that I do is going to be for the kingdom of God. Can we say for the kingdom with me? Say it, ready? 3, 2, 1. For the kingdom. Ready? Again, for the kingdom. Get that into your mind. Everything that we do as Christians is for the kingdom. Everything. I do for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the king, for the kingdom. That's why you do it. Why we do all these things? Why be on our bus? Why ride night bus? For the kingdom. It's what it is in all reality. Because you're either in two categories. Category one, you're building your kingdom here on earth and gaining all the influence and all the power and all the money and all the riches and all the things that you can as a young person to build your kingdom, or you're living for God, living for his kingdom. That's the reality. Hezekiah said, everything that I do, I want people to know. I want all of Israel to know. I want all of Judah to know that everything that I do is for the kingdom, is for God. It's not for me as king, but it's for the king, the king of kings. Matthew 5:12 says this, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Matthew 6:19, pastor said this in chapel on Tuesday, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Colossians 3:2, if ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. 2 Corinthians 4:17, your light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are, I like this word, temporal. Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Luke 12:15 says this, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life, I love this verse, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I have 4 points and I'll be done. We're gonna be done on time. I'm a short preacher in stature and in length of message. So we'll be out of here fairly shortly. Okay. Why don't you look at verse 5 with me? Or sorry, look at verse, actually let's do this. 2 Kings chapter 18, let's turn there. 2 Kings 18. This is the parallel passage of this story, Hezekiah. And I want you to just draw your attention to something. And I've kind of mentioned it already, but we'll just pop over here really quick. 2 Kings chapter 18. Let's look at verse 10 as well. 2 Kings 18:10, the Bible says, and at the end of 3 years, they took it. Even in the 6th year of Hezekiah, that was the 9th year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. Samaria was the capital of Israel to the north. In his reign, there was a space of grace. I mentioned this. But my first point is this. I got 4 points and we'll be done. Number one is this, salvation for the kingdom. During Hezekiah's reign, Hezekiah's righteous life brought a space of grace or a little bit of salvation to the kingdom of Judah. Can I encourage you today? If you live right, you'll bring salvation to others. There'll be a space of grace for other people because of your right life. So Hezekiah says, I'm going to live not for myself, but I'm going to live for the kingdom. And because of that, he brought salvation to his kingdom. No king wants their kingdom to be destroyed. And may I say that every single one of us on an individual basis, we don't want our lives to be destroyed. We don't want to throw away the kingdom of heaven, all that God has to offer us. So I see a space of grace or salvation here in this time period. For the first 14 years, Judah, and the Bible says he lives prosperous. Everything that Hezekiah did, the Bible says in 2 Kings, you can read it. he made his hand to prosper, everything that he did. It's because he was living for the kingdom. I hope you get that. He's living for the kingdom. For the kingdom. Not for himself. For the kingdom. Ask yourself, are you living for the kingdom? Are you living for the kingdom? When you're living for the kingdom, it brings salvation. I think this is a picture of salvation. I'll just touch on this. I don't want to preach without mentioning it because I was a freshman in college and I got my salvation settled in Brother Froehlke's class. But maybe you're here tonight. You're about to graduate. You're a junior, freshman, senior, whatever the case. You need to get your salvation settled. Do it. Get it done. One of the greatest decisions you'll ever make. God's judgment was stayed because one of the kings in the land got right. Almost with that Moses statement, standing between the living and the dead. I'm so glad that when you and I were lost and on our way to hell, that a king stepped in. Isn't that good right there? A king stepped in my place, a king stepped in your place. He decided to leave that kingdom for a little bit, come to earth, so we could live for the kingdom. Here we go, number one, salvation for the kingdom. Number two, turn back with me to 2 Chronicles 29. We'll stay here for just about the rest of the message. 2 Chronicles 29, I want you to look at verse 11. Number one is this, salvation for the kingdom. Number two, I say this, service for the kingdom. Serve for the kingdom. Serve for the kingdom. Let's look at verse 11. Here we go. I really wish we could go through this whole chapter, but we won't have the time to do that. Verse 11. My sons, this is Hezekiah speaking to all the people. He's gathered all the Levites, all the people together to the house of the Lord. Here we go. This is what he says. My sons, be not now negligent. He said, don't take this lightly. Don't just pass this over. He says, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him to what? To serve him. Say it with me. What is it? To serve him, that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Listen to me. Every single one of us ought to be serving for the kingdom. Serve for the kingdom. You say, Brother Atkins, I don't know where to serve. There's plenty of places. Night bus is a good one. Just throwing that out there. Okay, I'm going to poke that bear. Serving for the kingdom. What are you going to do this summer? You're going to go back home. You're going to put on a polo and a pair of khakis and show up at church. Just being real. See, Brackens, how do you know that? Travel on tour during summer. I'm watching. Got him. What are you going to do this summer? I hope that you're going to live the summer for the kingdom. Hope that this summer is going to be the greatest summer that you've ever had when it comes to your ministry. I hope it's better than the bus route that you had. I hope it's better than everything. I hope every moment, the next phase in your life grows. Doesn't diminish, but grows your ministry, grows your experience, grows who you are. Why? Because we're here to serve the King. And if we're not living for the kingdom, you're living for yourself. That's just the reality. That's why we say, hey, live for the kingdom. Hey, do right. Hey, walk the straight and narrow. Hey, do this. Hey, read your Bible. Hey, stay in prayer. Hey, go to class. Hey, ride a night bus. Hey, be on your bus route. We say that because we want you to have the rewards that come with living for the kingdom. Because there are great rewards. There's nothing wrong with living for rewards. God talks about it. He says, hey, if you serve me, I'll bless you. If you serve me, if you give me your life, I'm not going to waste it. So everything Satan touches, he destroys. Everything. If he touches your life, he'll destroy it. He'll use a girlfriend. He'll use texting. He'll use an app. He'll use your phone. He'll use TV. He'll use your spare time. He wants anybody to make it. He sees you living for the kingdom. He hates that. He hates it. Israel struggled with that. Hezekiah decided, I'm going to live for the kingdom. And the kingdom alone. There's not going to be a secondary thing. There's not going to be something on the side. I'm living for the kingdom. I eat, I sleep, I breathe serving Jesus. That's what Hezekiah says to the people. He says, God hath chosen you to stand before me to serve him and to minister. What kind of a minister and a servant are you going to be this summer? In your home church, to your home pastor, to your youth pastor. What kind of person are you going to be? Serve for the kingdom. Salvation for the kingdom. Serve for the kingdom. Don't be negligent about it. I love that word in the Bible there. Why don't you have some summer goals for the kingdom? Maybe winning somebody to Christ every week, every day. Maybe starting a new bus route. Maybe help. You fill in the blank. The Holy Spirit can speak to your heart. You know what you're supposed to do. Number one, salvation. Number two, serve for the kingdom. Number three, sanctify for the kingdom. Look at verse 5 with me. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites. What? What's that next word? Sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the what? Filthiness out of the holy place. He's talking about the temple of God. He's talking about the physical building that they were supposed to worship in that Ahaz, his dad, closed the doors of. He actually sold the doors. It's kind of funny. He's literally sold the doors of the house of the Lord to the Assyrians. Literally gave it to them. They're made of, overlaid with pure gold. He gave them away. Can I ask you something? Whom or what is the temple of God today? What is it? It's our body. 1 Corinthians. You are the temple of God. So that, what does that mean to say? If I when I read this verse, the Holy Spirit spoke, and I said, John, that is literally talking to you, talking to us. He would say, and he said unto them, hear ye me, John, sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house or the temple of the Lord your God, your body. Carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place. Can I ask you something? What do you have in your life that's filthy and doesn't belong in the temple of God? For some reason, my generation, and every generation has their battles, but it seems like alcohol and seems like our vaping and all those different things. Oh, it's okay to do. It's fine. No, it's not. You say, but because nobody in my generation is standing up and saying it's wrong. I'll tell you, it's wrong. The temple of God deserves better than that. Doesn't belong. Well, but the Bible doesn't say. Listen here, Spanky. No, I didn't. I thought I'd throw that in there. I thought that was kind of funny. All right. It's the first thing that came to my mind. Pastor's going to listen to this later. I need a job. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians 3:16. What know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19, what famous verse? What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and what? Ye are not what? Your own. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, I like this one. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Are you living for the kingdom? Are you living for you? Are you doing what feels good or what you know is right? Because there's a difference. I'm kind of like on or off, hot or cold. It's kind of how I am. I'm like 100% in or 100%. That's just my personality. Okay? It's either right or wrong. I don't have like gray areas in my a lot of gray areas in my life, okay? I'm like, you're either doing right or you're doing wrong. You're either doing what authority told you to do or you're not. That's just kind of, you're either following the rule book or you're not following the rule book. That's just the bottom line to me. I like things that are black and white. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. That's what I love about the Bible. Because the Bible does tell you how to live. It tells you how you should act. It says act for the kingdom. Serve for the kingdom. Sanctify for the kingdom. That means to personally set yourself apart for a specific service. Sanctified means to set apart for a specific use. So you and I are set apart for God's specific use. You may not know what that use is, but God has sanctified you, set you apart from the world. There's millions of people in the world, but you're here. And he sets you apart so that you and I could serve and could minister to people. For the Dominguez, I don't know when it was, but I'm going to tell it because I feel like this is what the Lord wants. Actually, me and my wife were dating at the time. I don't know if it was the first, second, or third time, but some of you like that right there. Anyways, during one of those times, I don't know if it was a mountaintop or a valley. Felt like a valley. All right. But she's here today. I'm thankful for that. So I got some other, like, that was rough, right? Come on. And then during that other time, I had somebody give me a phone call and say, hey, something bad happened. So it was like the day after, and I was like, I didn't really know what to do with myself. It was kind of, I think it was a Thursday or a Friday night, and I was discouraged. Like, I was down. I was like, man, not that God, I wasn't blaming God, but I felt discouraged. I felt like, I don't think I can, not that I can't make it, but how am I supposed to make it? And I don't know why, but I went to Home Depot first, and I walked around Home Depot. Have you ever done that? Okay? Because that's what men do when they're bored, okay? They walk around Home Depot and dream, all right? The second thing that I went, after that, I went just down the road, and I went to Best Buy, okay? That's where I go to dream about things I can't have, okay? All right? You know what I'm talking about. You walk down those roads, you try on the headphones, you do all these different things. How many of you have ever hooked your phone to a Bluetooth speaker and played Hiles and Harrison music on that? Anybody like that? I do that all the time. That's great. Walking through, you Bluetooth connect to them, and then you have Hiles and Harrison. You go into websites. People would go into stores, and you'd type in the website, and you put, you know, First Baptist Church, the gospel, Pastor Wilkerson's picture on there. You know, you do all that, all those laptops, okay? I wasn't doing that night. That's my ministry. All right, there we go. But so that night, I don't know, I think the Lord brought together, but Brother Dominguez was there at Best Buy. I was literally, like, I can't explain it. I was walking around Best Buy, and there was Brother Dominguez. Like, just like that. I was like, I don't know where he came from. I think he was shopping with his family or what, dreaming about things he couldn't have either. So that's probably what he's doing. But we met, and then he said some things to me, and we talked for a moment. And the Lord used that. I oftentimes look back at that moment. I do. I call it the Best Buy moment. That God used somebody to minister to me. You know, God has somebody that he wants you to minister to. I don't know who it is. I don't know where they're at. But he has something for you. Take advantage of it. Sanctify for the kingdom. A pastor often says, he hasn't said this in a while, but preparation meets opportunity. If you're not prepared, you're going to miss the opportunity. Bible college is a place where you can prepare yourself, sanctify yourself, serve. So that when opportunity comes across, it'll click. Here we go. We just got a few minutes left. Number one, I said salvation for the kingdom. Number two, serve for the kingdom. Three, sanctify for the kingdom. Last one, let's look at verse 31. Spend a couple moments here, but sacrifice for the kingdom. 29, verse 31. Hezekiah answered and said, now that ye have consecrated or sanctified or set yourselves apart unto the Lord, says, come near, bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in what? Sacrifices and thank offerings. And as many as of were what? Free heart burnt offerings. In fact, they didn't have enough priests. You keep reading the story. They didn't have enough priests to fillet all the meat. So they had to use other Levites in the tribe because the priests couldn't do it alone. So they used Levites in the tribe to get the job done. I want to point this out here. Look at verse 36 with me. And Hezekiah rejoiced for all the people that God had prepared, that God prepared the people for what? The thing was done suddenly. It doesn't take long for God to change a life. Some of you guys are struggling on base one. God's trying to pull you over and sanctify you and make you a better person. And God's got a lot more bases and places for you to go. But you're still stuck on base one because you just won't let God. You won't let go and let God. Sacrifice. He looks at the people and he says, now that you understand you need to serve, he says, now that you understand that you need to be separated and sanctified and put yourself there in that position, he says, now you need to sacrifice. Can I ask you something today? What are you willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God? What are you willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God? How about this? What are you sacrificing today? We think, oh, I'm going to sacrifice such and such in the future. No, what are you sacrificing today? You say, why should I sacrifice for the kingdom? Why might HAC for the kingdom? Why watch a nursery for the kingdom? Why put kids in a Christian school for the kingdom? Why be in church for the kingdom? Why date the right kind of girl, the right kind of guy for the kingdom? Why read my Bible? Why preach? Why sing a song? Why say something? Why go soul winning? Why drive a bus? Why preach on a bus? Why pray? Why serve? Why sanctify? Why sacrifice? Why should I get up early? Why should I stay late? Why should I learn more? Why pass out a track? Why should I have good friends? Why should I stop looking at the junk that I'm watching? Why should I should eat, breathe, sleep, love, live, go for the kingdom? Why should I go to church camp this summer for the kingdom? Why should I go to youth conference or youth activity or be a missionary or be a witness or follow the rules or be a pastor for the kingdom? Stop making it about you. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God. And if God's kingdom wins, then everybody wins. What are you living for? What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you doing to serve? Where are you in the sanctification process? If you're getting more worldly, that's the wrong direction. For the kingdom. Take your Bibles, and I'll be done here in a moment. 1 Corinthians 15. Here we go. Last verse. We'll close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I saw this verse a few days ago, and I love it. I think this speaks to the message. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50. Here we go. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. This body and everything that I do, the Bible says it's going to burn wood, hay, and stubble. Everything I do in my own power. If I'm doing it to build my kingdom, it's going to burn. That's why he says, listen, everything that you do ought to be for the kingdom. Everything. Recently, I've been saying to myself, maybe even sometimes when I sit down and play a piano, or whatever the case, Lord, I'm doing this for you. This is for the kingdom. I'm not here to please everybody. I can't. But I can please Christ. And I can live for the kingdom. And if I live for the kingdom, everything else will take care of itself. So here's the question. What are you doing for the kingdom? Hezekiah, he did great things for the kingdom of Judah. Gave them a space of grace. He sanctified them, told them to serve. He said, hey, sacrifice, bring something that you literally probably need and sacrifice it so that I can bless it and bless you. Sacrifice something that means something to you. Giving that up for the kingdom. We don't. There's no streets of gold here. There's no immortal body. This body's going to die. We have to do things to keep this body intact. And we're not living for this moment. We're living for the kingdom. This summer, live for the kingdom. Say with me, for the kingdom. Say with me, for the kingdom. Say with me, for the kingdom. Everything that you do. Do it for the kingdom. Do it for the kingdom. Here, Brother Atkins, it's tough. It is tough. Christian life is good, but it's not the easiest life. There's going to be trials and bruises and valleys. We talked about valleys. But we're doing it for the kingdom. What you do and what I do is not going to inherit. And corruption cannot inherit. In corruption. Everything that I do has to be centered around the fact that I'm doing it for the Lord and for the kingdom of God. Everything. If you're not doing it for the kingdom of God, you're doing it for yourself. And you're going to build your little kingdom, and when the rains begin to fall, splat. There goes your sandcastle. Build on the rock. Work for the kingdom. That's what counts. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Your love, your grace, your mercy. Pray that you speak to hearts as only you can, Lord. We need you.